Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Bear Tooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, yeah, this is definitely the clip of the day right here. I just heard this on Sean Hannity's monologue last night, and then I saw somebody on the Montana Politics hashtag share this as well from townhall.com. But Chris Matthews, why do they still allow him on MSNBC? I know, dumb question. Chris Matthews, remember the guy who got the thrill up his leg, or the, what did he call it? That tingling up his leg whenever he'd see Barack Obama on TV. Well, now, apparently, whenever tariffs come up, whenever he sees Trump on TV, he just has, you know, pee running down his leg now. He's one of the panickins, panicking over everything. Here is Chris Matthews on MSNBC panicking over tariffs against Canada. Listen to this.
We get so much of our lumber, our 2x4s, from Canada. That's where we get it from. Canada. We get our newsprint from up there for newspapers. The fact is we get it. What are we going to do? Have more lumber made in the United States now? What is our plan now? Oh, we're not going to import wood, so we're going to make more wood? We're going to create more wood? Is that it? I don't think we are in a position to simply replicate the imports coming into this country with our own products. It can't always be done. And I think if wood's example of that. Wood. Are we going to make more wood in this country because of our trade deal? I don't think so.
Man, holy cow. Just listening to that, it's like when he's like, well, what are we going to do? Are we going to make more wood in America? Yes. Yes, it's exactly what we're going to do again. Man, since January 20th of 2025, it hasn't even been the first 100 days of President Trump yet. That's exactly what we've been talking about, is not just making America great again, but making our timber industry great again. And you heard him there. He did what these newspapers did a couple of months ago. They said, oh, man, if we have tariffs against Canada, where do you think we get all our paper from? Where do you think the paper companies get all their timber from? They get it from Canada. Yeah, well, we used to get it from America. We used to get it from Western Montana. But you guys were the cheerleaders for the radical environmentalists and the Democrats in Congress and these radical left-wing federal judges like Don Malloy in Missoula, who shut our industry down and shipped it all to Canada while Canada was subsidizing their timber industry. Anyway, I shared that audio on X earlier this morning as well, getting some great responses in here already. Ranch Girl at MT Valley Girl on X says, obviously, he does not know where wood comes from. Patrick McCracken says, Columbia Falls, circa 2010, would like a word. Let's see, TWK406 says, timber is a renewable crop, no different than wheat. It's planted, managed, and harvested. Timber, forest management, and logging is just another form of farming. And then my buddy Evan Wilson, with some great Montana-specific data and Montana-specific information straight out of the DNRC. I'll share that one with you right after this.
It's April 9th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Name Yourself Day. Normally, I go by CJ Papa, but today, I'll be Anchorman. Studies have shown that there are links between a person's name and their personalities. It's called the Dorian Gray Effect, named for Oscar Wilde's novel, The Picture of Dorian Gray. Also on this day, it was wedding bells for the British royal family in 2005 as Prince Charles married Camilla Parker Bowles. It was his second marriage. He was first wed to Lady Diana Spencer, later known as Princess Diana. In 1967, the best-selling airplane in history had its maiden voyage, the Boeing 737, a short to medium-range plane. And in 1950, comedian Bob Hope made his first-ever television appearance on the Star Spangled Review. Previously, Hope had resisted being on TV, saying radio was a softer racket. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
How do airplanes fly? What's in this box? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Learn how to store your gun securely and make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by End Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, the great Evan Montana Wilson on X, Evan Wilson. He used to be a little more anonymous on X, but now he's like, you know what? No more anonymity. We're throwing it down. We're throwing it out there. Evan is that great Montana pollster. Well, really, he's a prominent national pollster, but he's always through and through a Montana guy. So that's why he's Evan Montana Wilson here. But yeah, he shared these numbers. You know, Chris Matthews saying, well, we can't make wood in America. We can't just start a... yeah, we can. Evan shared this in response to that Chris Matthews soundbite that I played here kicking off the 8 o'clock hour. In 2024, the DNRC, that's the Montana Department of Natural Resources and Conservation, increased state trust land annual timber sales offered to over 60 million board feet. Revenue from state trust land timber projects benefits trust beneficiaries such as K through 12 schools. Last year, all revenue generating activities across trust lands provided approximately $374 per student. Wow. I mean, that's remarkable. You think about $374 per student just because of state trust lands. And then he also shared this really interesting graphic. This is the percentage of forest cover by state. Now, some of you are listening in parts of central Montana and parts of eastern Montana where you're like, forest cover? I may live in Plentywood, but there's not a lot of wood out here right now. This is for almost as far as you can see, there's no wood, right? So then think about this number. This just shows how much timber we've actually got here in Montana, how much potential we've actually got. 20.6% of Montana is covered by forest. But Chris Matthews, where are we going to make wood? Where are we going to make wood? Tim and Savage, he's out there on the Mondakistan border. So, again, not a lot of wood out there. But even Tim from Savage can tell you, oh, yeah, we've got plenty of wood here. Maybe not in Plentywood, but in Montana. Oh, no, how can we make wood? It's not like it grows on trees. That was the message from Tim in Savage. Tim, thanks for that message. By the way, we've got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Russ in Livingston, great to hear from you. Yeah, what do you think of Chris Matthews and the whole deal?
Well, I guess he's for the greenhouse gases because they really want to see the smoke in the summertime rather than using the wood. They want to burn it. And, I mean, I spent quite a few years helping to try and control the bug problem in the trees. And it was on private ground. You look at the stuff I was doing and then look at the forest that's supposed to be managed for the public and what was being done to it. It was sad. And they just don't want to admit to the fact that they don't know what they're doing.
Well, not only that, but they're phony. They're hypocrites. They claim to care about the environment, but they don't. If they cared about carbon dioxide emissions, not only that, but all sorts of other emissions that come from these fires or that come from China, where they don't have the cleaner coal technology that we have here in America, for example. If they actually cared about those things, then they actually would do something to better manage our forests. But they don't. It's just like these people trading in their Teslas for SUVs now, right? Like they never. It was never about the environment. It was about virtue signaling.
Yes, yes, and I mean they want you to think about how much you're helping the air, but in fact they're doing more damage. And I don't understand why. The smoke was accepted because, what, it's organic, so that made it good? You know, it just, their arguments fall flat when they're held to the fire. Put the light on them.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, the beetle kill, you know, talking about the beetle kill that's out there and, you know, how you can see, unfortunately, a sea of that, you know, dead, dying timber. Well, you know, again, go back to Libby in the early 1900s when they had beetle kill there. They cut a circle around it and they cut down the beetle kill trees. They got them out of there and they removed the beetle threat. But now it's the, you know, blame climate change. They just want to blame everything on climate change. Same thing's going on right now, by the way. You know, somebody needs to say this. To these never-Trumpers in the Paradise Valley, in the Livingston area. Actually, Russ, did you see any of those never-Trumper rallies? Hopefully he's still – Russ, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here, and I'm laughing. I mean, I've been talking about this for decades. They're more eco-terrorists than they are ecologists. They just, I don't know. They don't think about what they're saying. They will not do anything to fix a problem. They don't like logging because, oh, that, they'll show you pictures from the 30s where they clear cut.
Yeah.
They don't do that.
Well, and not only that, but just, I mean, we've been talking about forest management. What about range management? And what about Yellowstone National Park? I mean, and again, these never Trumpers that were at their anti Elon Musk, anti Donald Trump rallies, whether it was near Gardner or Yankee, you know, Paradise Valley or the Livingston area, I wonder how many of those protesters are some of these federal employees who keep pushing policies that are destroying the rangeland, not only inside Yellowstone National Park, but are destroying the rangeland outside of Yellowstone National Park with their absurd bison and environmental wacko policies.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The rule of law has a nice sound to it. Who doesn't want to be governed by laws? Except that it punts on the definition of law and the system through which it's applied. Economists care about economic outcomes, and the way a legal system actually works today exacts a significant cost on all of us. Companies produce products and services which expose them to risk when bad things happen. That makes sense. Those same companies shouldn't be selling dangerous things. At least that's the theory. But the legal system can make it enormously expensive to defend yourself in court. Smart lawyers can shop around the country to find plaintiff-friendly places to file lawsuits. And the blank check of punitive damages sharpens the tip of the spear aimed at the heart of a company that finds itself in court. Avoidance of those kinds of risks is what hurts the economy. Innovative products may never come to market. Companies who pay to settle or litigate claims have less resources to invest. And the cost of the services they provide will be much higher. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Donald Trump's America.
Several coal miners joined President Trump in an executive order signing this week aimed at supercharging the production of what President Trump calls beautiful, clean coal.
And we're going to put the miners back to work, and I said I was going to do this, and I've said it loud and clear, and it's time to do it. Now we need it.
President Trump says coal-fired power plants are needed as part of an all-of-the-above energy strategy to boost capacity.
For years, people would just bemoan this industry and decimate the industry for absolutely no reason.
A series of executive orders delay some emission requirements for coal-fired power plants, prevents the closure of other plants, and lifts bans on coal mining on leased federal land. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Right now, if you want to call in, you can also message us on the Montana Talks app. Let me share another message that came in on the Montana Talks app here earlier this morning. This one came from Thomas in Billings. He says, I like the fact that Congress passed a bill reining in the district judges. Yeah, no, thanks for that message, Thomas. I think you called in earlier this week on that very topic and said, hey, what the heck are they doing? Why aren't they playing offense? Why aren't they reining in these rogue judges? Well, here's the story, FoxNews.com. I saw this breaking news alert last night, by the way. And here it is. Trump-backed bill to stop rogue judges passes the House. The House of Representatives passed a bill Wednesday to limit federal district judges' ability to affect Trump administration policies on a national scale. The No Rogue Rulings Act, led by Congressman Issa out of California, passed the House and limits district courts' power to issue nationwide, U.S.-wide injunctions, instead forcing them to focus their scope on the parties directly affected in most cases. So there you go. And that's on top of course, even the United States Supreme Court already basically started reining in that bozo, that rogue judge, Judge Boasberg, the other day. Let's see. Back into the phone lines we go here. We got Chet in Belgrade. Chet, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good morning, fellas. Say, I have a short list, a litany list of ideas I'd like you to comment when I'm done, and that is, why in the world are we importing copper from, Peru? And why are we getting lumber from Canada? And why are we getting nickel and chrome from Russia and Rhodesia? And why in the world are we getting gold and silver from anywhere else when we have more than enough here? And then here's some other ones. Why in the world are we importing from East Coast, West Coast, transgender legislatures? We have one, and that's plenty. And then why in the world are we importing all these junkies from all over? We have plenty here already. And I'll leave you to comment on that. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, I was going to see if you had an answer to that question as well, too. But apparently, yeah, no, Chet, appreciate that. Maybe you guys have a good answer for Chet. There is no good answer to any of that, is there? What's the answer? Well, why are we getting this from there? Why are we getting that from there? Why are we getting these EV battery components from China? Why are we getting copper from this other country? Because they don't want you to be able to mine it here. They would rather do it somewhere else with less environmental safeguards than they have here in America. And when I say they, I'm talking about the Democrats, and I'm talking about these liberal federal judges. I'm talking about these fake, phony environmental groups who claim to care about the environment. Every time I hear a news story refer to these environmental wackos as conservationists, they are not conservationists. If they wanted to conserve our forests, they wouldn't sit back and laugh while our forests go up in smoke every summer. If they were conservationists, they would support the clean coal technology and the cleaner coal in America and try to get China and other countries around the world to adopt our practices and to adopt our technology and to use our cleaner burning coal. But no, instead, they try to stop it. They would rather that dirtier coal was used in dirtier ways on the other side of the planet in China than cleaner coal providing great high-wage jobs right here in Montana. They want this to be their little playground. They don't want you living here. Why do you think they fund the American Prairie Reserve? Because they don't want the Montana ranchers here. They want it to be their little liberal elite playground. And then I think the other answer, I think, to Chet and Belgrade's question is they want people to be dependent on the government, because if you're dependent on the government, you're dependent on them. and you vote for them because you need them to put food on the table, to pay for this, to pay for that, to pay for this, and to pay for all these things. And so they want you to be dependent on the government. That's why, you know, just like these fake phony environmentalists claim to care about the environment, they don't. That's why they're trading in Teslas for gas-guzzling SUVs, because it was never about the environment. They claim to care about Indian country and Native Americans. And, you know, all the white liberals go on their little tour of the reservations every election cycle. And the most soy boys of all soy boys show up in Indian country and put on some phony little campaign event. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of Native Americans still vote for them, kind of like people in Butte that still vote for these Democrats, even though these Democrats are killing your very union jobs and they're against your Catholic beliefs. Hell, they'll send in the FBI to spy on you. You know, the Democrats claim to care about Indian country, but what did John Tester do to stand up for coal, for Crow coal? Not a dang thing. He sat there and watched as coal strip was under attack, even though there's Northern Cheyenne tribal members who feed entire families, if not several families, with one job in the coal power plant or the coal mines there, right? He didn't say squat as the drug cartels were targeting Native Americans. They just want people to be dependent upon them. You know, it was so symbolic, too, and John and Bozeman, stand by, I want to get to you. It was so symbolic. You know, what Chet is talking about really is the deindustrialization of America that's happened as a result of, you know, imbalanced trade policies and more, and radical environmental policies, whatever you want, you know, all the above, right? But I thought it was so symbolic. The other day, did you guys see J.D. Vance? Vice President J.D. Vance had his mom at the White House to celebrate 10 years of sobriety from her drug addiction. And if you don't know the story of Vice President J.D. Vance, I think that was so symbolic that that happened this week. Because J.D. Vance comes from Ohio and the Rust Belt, where we used to have thriving manufacturing and thriving middle class, good wage jobs that supported families. And then those jobs went away. Those factories shut down and those jobs went away. And a lot of those people started to struggle and drug addiction became a thing and more people became dependent on the government. And Democrats have been fine with all that all these years. And so how symbolic is here is Vice President J.D. Vance and President Donald J. Trump working to finally turn this ship around, especially in those Rust Belt states, especially in our timber industry and in our coal industry. And here he is with his mom celebrating 10 years of sobriety this very week when this very fight has been dominating global headline. I thought it was just powerful. John and Bozeman, thanks for the call. What's your thoughts this morning?
Good morning. Well, I've been listening to you talk for a little bit, so I kind of forgot what I was going to talk about.
Something about the borders is yeah. what our producer said.
Actually, I was going to mention something about the tariffs, too. I mean, if anything, you know, and again, I'm preaching to the choir here, but, you know, in my opinion, people are forgetting, or maybe not, but it's mostly about security issues. From what I can tell, so as far as like us worrying about, you know, prices going up, I don't think that's the biggest concern we need to have. It's more about our own, security and, you know,
domestic manufacturing production.
As far as lumber goes, I mean, you know, like Democrats, for example, even if they're so worried about their forests and, you know, and their whatever, I mean, they should incentivize them to, I'm a builder, and, you know, and if you see how much wood we throw, you know, all the wood and waste we scrap, you know, maybe this will incentivize, you know, Americans, you know, to use our resources more wisely and get better technologies, you know, and, you know, again, to, you know, to make ourselves better than rather than relying on chopping down trees in someone else's country. You know?
You're right on the security point. Energy security is national security. Food security is national security. But let's talk about military and national security. Remember, China has been building mock-ups of American aircraft carriers in the desert that they've been playing target practice with. We have been funding their military expansion. We have been funding their global expansion and their Belt and Road Initiative through this trade imbalance and through these crazy trade policies and through the deindustrialization of America. We have been funding that buildup. We have been funding the very threat against us. But from another standpoint, too, in line with what John and Bozeman is saying here, is the fact that we are funding all of this right now, and kind of like John, I just lost my train of thought of where I was going on this one in particular. But we've been funding this entire thing here to be channeling. Oh, I know the point I was going to make with regard to mining. You know, I talked about making our timber industry great again. Well, we need to make mining in America great again as well. And I think we're starting slowly to move in that direction. But, you know, critical minerals that we need for components for military technology, for other sensitive, national security type technology. We are dependent on China for that stuff, which is why we need to make mining in America great again. And it ties in with exactly what John and Bozeman was saying there. Dennis in Kalispell. I can't wait to hear Dennis in Kalispell right after the break. Dennis, stand by. Apparently he saw a billboard in Kalispell, and I saw the same thing in Billings.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, speaking of Trump and the tariffs and the big rebound and the markets and that 60 to 70 countries now coming to him, coming to the Trump White House saying, hey, we want to make a deal with you. President Trump, he shared this. I think it was via Truth Social. I just shared it via X. Oh, this goes back to 2014, but the Trump War Room. This was a tweet from Donald J. Trump back on December 29th, 2014. Wow, I thought this was a new one. But no, the Trump War Room just shared it here within the last 24 hours. President Trump said this back in 2014 about, a couple years before he was even in office as president of the United States. He said this, deals are my art form. Other people paint beautifully or write poetry. I like making deals, preferably big deals. That's how I get my kicks. You know, it was really funny, it was really not just funny, it was just cool. Somebody had asked President Trump, I forget where I saw this interview, if it was a Fox interview or where it was, but somebody asked President Trump, they said, hey, your press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, and by the way, isn't she doing just an incredible job? They said, your press secretary is only 27 years old. And yeah, she's doing a great job, but heck, you didn't know if she was going to be able to perform or not. You know, I mean, in that podium, right? I mean, yeah, you face some tests, you face some hurdles, but stepping up to that podium in the White House is a totally different ballgame. And so they said, why did you place so much trust in a young woman to be your White House spokesperson, your White House press secretary? And he said, 27, he said, I was cutting business deals in New York City at 21. So you got a young woman who's 27 years old, who's well-spoken, who knows her stuff. Of course he had, you know, the utmost of confidence in her. And I just thought that was such a cool window into his thinking and into his background and into his thinking. Stephen Moore, you guys remember Stephen Moore? He's got the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. He was a Trump 2016 economic advisor. He also used to serve on the editorial board for the Wall Street Journal. He was on CNN. And, you know, and Stephen Moore isn't typically a fan of tariffs, but this is what he said on CNN about President Trump.
So. Everybody's nervous about the stock market right now, and I just will say one positive thing on the way out. When Donald Trump was president for 4 years, we had a booming stock market. The NASDAQ was up 150%, the S&P 500 was up 75%, and the Dow was up 60%. What I'm saying is, this guy knows what he's doing, he knows financial markets, it is going to come back.
He had a very different team around him.
Well, that's true.
Term
that's
one.
True.
He had a very,
but he
very
did it once, he'll do it again.
Yeah, he did it once, he'll do it again, and that's exactly why I think, you know, people trust President Trump, and that's why with all the panicking, the panickins out there that have been panicking since Monday, man, look at how different the stock market already is come Thursday. And then as our friend David Noble pointed out, inflation numbers came in today, even lower than expected. I mean, inflation has been is now virtually non-existent. So that's why the American people trust President Donald J. Trump. Let's go to Dennis in Kalispell next up on the phone lines. Dennis, great to hear from you.
Yes, I was just driving by a little while ago. I saw a billboard that says, "Keep it wild, American Prairie," something. And I just thought I'd call in to see if anybody else, but I guess you've seen the same thing in Billings.
Yeah, I saw a couple of billboards. I don't know if it says "Keep it wild." Usually you see that bumper sticker on a Subaru with, you know, four license plates out of Missoula. Keep it wild. It's like, why are you driving a car then if you want to keep everything wild? You know, a little hypocritical. But no, the sign in Billings that I saw, I can't remember if it said something about love for the prairie or something like that. And then I saw American Prairie, and I'm like, oh, for Pete's sake, is this these American Prairie wackos that are trying to kick our ranchers off the prairie? Because they're the ranchers are the ones who really love the prairie and protect it and promote wildlife habitat and more, not these fake, phony environmentalists.
Well, yeah, so that's why I thought I'd call in about it, because I saw it in the lower left corner, it says, "Keep it wild," and that's...
You know, one of my favorite billboards that I saw in Kalispell, I don't know if you've seen this one too, Dennis, the American Prairie one is obviously not. That one's like, oh, get out of here, you guys pretending to love our backyard when you're trying to kick us out of our own yards. Get out of here. Take your Hans Wies money and go back to freaking Switzerland or wherever you got your other funds from. There's good people from Switzerland. That's not a knock on Switzerland. It's just that's where Hans Wies is from. Dennis, have you seen the billboard with the coyotes on it and the snowmobiles?
No, I haven't. Where is that one located?
I'm trying to think. I think it's off of 93. If you're taking if you're cutting over there towards Columbia Falls between Cal's. Maybe it's closer to
Highway 40.
Yeah, I can't remember if it's near Evergreen or if it's in between, Kalispell, Whitefish. But I saw this thing, and if you read closely, you can tell that it's the environmentalists that are trying to stop people from running over coyotes with snowmobiles. But the billboard, it looks like a ton of fun. It makes you want to go run over coyotes with a snowmobile. I just thought it was funny. It's like, I don't think your billboard is having the intent that you're wanting it to have here.
Hey, another thing I thought I'd call up about, you're talking about timber industry a while back. Roseburg had to shut down due to being too close to Missoula or in Missoula. And it shut down another mill that was supplying them, which all that stuff had to go elsewhere, which is creating the headaches for other mills. And I didn't know how people react to that.
Yeah. Well, look at I saw somebody had either sent a message or maybe they shared it on Twitter. They said, you know, when Bernie Sanders is coming to rally in Missoula, are they going to do it out at the old Smurfit Stone, mill site? You know, those were good union jobs that got shut down by the environmentalists, right? And we can go a lot of places across the area and find good union jobs that were shut down by the Democrats and by the environmentalists. Dennis, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. And yeah, back to this news about our, you know, making the American timber industry great again. I got some great messages from Christine in Frenchtown this morning. And she was telling me, you know, because her and her husband are in the in the timber industry. And she was talking about the landings. Oh, actually, before I get to that one, so I pulled up, you know, she sent me a message earlier this morning, and then, you know how when somebody sends you a message, you can see, you know, older messages? I saw a message that she sent about a month ago, and this is what she said about a month ago. She says, not only is coal cleaner in the U.S., but forest management and timber harvesting is more environmentally conscious than Canada or other places. So that's a great point. But then she was also talking about today about how the landings give prey fresh food to eat. That brings the predators in, so we are keeping them alive. So she talked about how it's good for wildlife as well, that the landings are where all the logs are processed and then decked. She says, we've seen a lot of tracks in actual critters, grizzlies, cats, wolves. No dire wolves yet, though. So there you go. But she added this. She says, you know, President Trump's newly appointed Forest Service chief worked for the DNRC here in Montana and then Idaho Forest Group and for their mills in Idaho and Montana. So a cool Montana connection with the new Forest Service chief. Whoa, I was going to go to Chris in Columbia Falls. Oh, I was still on Dennis's call. There we go. That's right. That was my mistake. All right, Chris in Columbia Falls, what's on your mind? Good to hear from you.
Same old stuff, except, you know, what will change? I'll tell you what will change. You know, since Wayne Pacelli used to do this stuff, and he's made a ghastly, you know, shameful part of his life, you know, such greed. And the same thing with people like Foreman, who belong to the Earth First group. This goes back to the 90s, you know, the National Environmental Policy Act. And you still got a Judge Malloy down there, and they're going to just resurrect these people. Because after yesterday, watching the energy discussion by Donald Trump, what you're seeing there, folks, is leadership. That's what you see. But you got to follow through. There's certain things you have to get rid of, and people like Wayne Pacelli and Earth Firsters. These people came in here and actually destroyed this country in the late 70s and 80s and into the 90s. Now, if you want to get rid of them, you just have to keep pressuring them. The Forest Service is just loaded with too soft to people. They have no leadership there. So that's number one you have to get rid of. The gates are still extremely locked up, and Donald Trump needs to somehow work his magic with these gates. They need to be opened up again.
That's a great point there. Mr. Forest Service Chief, tear down those gates. I like it, Chris.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Every country knows that he's in a position of strength, and if they don't deal with him, it's going to happen again. And then because China doubled down on dumb, and stupid, because they need access to our markets. There's like, and this is what the president was betting on. Every country, the EU, you know, all the European nations, Great Britain, and even China in the end, I predict, will come around. They need access to our markets and your money, or else they're screwed. Their manufacturing starts to tank. Their economy starts to tank. Their workers start rebelling. Their citizens start getting angry. And Trump bet on American strength to get this deal done, and now he's free to negotiate.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Now, don't get suckered into the same old free phone game by Big Wireless. That comes with a lot of fine print, plus. Oh, in other words, you pay more. At the end of the day, you paid for that, quote, free phone three times over. There is a better way. Pure Talk, my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company, my sponsor, my wireless company, has a much better offer. A free phone with a qualifying plan for just $35 a month, and you get a brand-new Samsung Galaxy A26. Just make the switch to Pure Talk for $35 a month. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 15 gigs of data with mobile hotspot and roaming, all on America's most dependable 5G network. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now, and Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will help you make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. Again, #250, keyword save now. Get your free Samsung Galaxy with a qualifying plan when you switch to Pure Talk, wireless by Americans for Americans.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Polino. Luke Bryan announced his fall farm tour dates. The country star is returning to the Midwest, where the tour first began. Bryan revealed the schedule for shows September 18th through the 20th in Wisconsin, Illinois, and Michigan. The farm tour brings big country concerts to small town communities that might not otherwise host major music events. These new dates follow the spring leg of the farm tour happening next month. Bryan expanded the typically fall only tour this year and added his first ever California dates. Cole Swindell is set to hit the road this fall for his headlining Happy Hour Sad tour. The name based on his upcoming project, out June 27th. The tour will launch on September 4th in Toledo, Ohio, and continue through October 26th with stops across Georgia, Washington, Florida, and more. Swindell will be joined by special guests Priscilla Block, Logan Crosby, and Graylin James. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Who was that caller earlier? We had a caller earlier. It was, it was John in Bozeman. He was originally going to call in and talk about borders, something about borders. And then, of course, that, as always happens, we get to talking about who knows what in several different topics. And so then he was talking about, you know, tariffs and domestic manufacturing and mining and timber. And, you know, he said, look, this is a security issue. This is a national security issue. And big picture, that's exactly what this is all about as well here. In fact, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins, I just saw this clip during the break. I went in and checked in on X, checked any messages, any new information, checked for any breaking news, et cetera. And I spotted this clip from Rapid Response 47. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins was on with Stu Varney on Fox Business. And for those who don't know, the way our federal government agencies work, the land management agencies, it's just kind of weird. Because you would assume that the Forest Service is under the Department of Interior, that the Forest Service would also be under, you know, the same entity that has the Bureau of Land Management and things like that. But instead, you know, you've got Forest Service lands that are over here that are under the Department of Agriculture, and then you got BLM lands over here and National Park lands over here and other types of things like that are under Interior. And so two different departments, two different cabinet members. But the Forest Service is under the Department of Agriculture, and so Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins was talking about President Trump's, one of his latest executive orders to increase U.S. Lumber production here in America. So Chris Matthews, yes, we can make more wood in America.
But it's a national security issue, whether it's timber or food or energy, whatever it is. If we're relying more on other countries, that's not what's best for America. So opening up the forest lands and a percentage of those, ensuring that we're moving permitting more quickly, ensuring we're deregulating will bring more prosperity, not just in the cost of the good, but also to rural parts of America, more jobs, better jobs. And we're really excited about that. The president's vision is right on, and we've been implementing it at USDA.
All right. And by the way, look at what the governor, I mentioned that stat earlier from Evan Wilson. You know, that Montana-specific stat where, you know, 20.6% of Montana is covered with forest. And just on our state lands alone, remember when Governor Greg Gianforte took office, you had 16 years of Democrat governors. And, of course, Bullock, the former Democrat governor, was this far-left liberal activist. You know, he was the shut-up-and-wear-your-mask guy. He was the shut down the churches but keep the Planned Parenthood abortion mills up and running guy. He was the guy who, we could go on. Far left environmentalist Steve Bullock. So Greg Gianforte comes in, Republicans take back, state government, and they start saying, hey, we need to better manage our forests, and we're going to start with state lands. First year he's in office, they double the harvests on state lands. I think they doubled again the next year. And then look at the state trust lands alone, not just from timber, but from other, things. What was it? $374 per student have come into our schools just because of state trust lands alone. So Montana is showing the nation what we have done with our state lands, and still a lot more needs to be done, right? Even the governor, if he was here right now, he'd tell you that's just a drop in the bucket for the work that really needs to be done in our forests. But the bulk of it really is our federal lands. And that earlier caller was exactly right. You've got a lot of far-left bureaucrats. You've got some good folks that work for these land management agencies, but you've got a lot of far-left bureaucrats. I mean, you know, the University of Montana School of Forestry used to be the School of Forestry. Now, unfortunately, it feels like the School of Environmentalists, because there's a few too many of those coming out of there. And then they fill these so-called land management agencies that instead shut down your access to the land, shut down harvesting of timber, and they throw too many bison in our national parks that destroys the rangeland in the park and then ends up destroying the rangeland outside of the park as well. And I'll bet you they're the same people showing up at these stupid anti-Trump rallies.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The rule of law has a nice sound to it. Who doesn't want to be governed by laws? Except that it punts on the definition of law and the system through which it's applied. Economists care about economic outcomes, and the way a legal system actually works today exacts a significant cost on all of us. Companies produce products and services which expose them to risk when bad things happen. That makes sense. Those same companies shouldn't be selling dangerous things. At least that's the theory. But the legal system can make it enormously expensive to defend yourself in court. Smart lawyers can shop around the country to find plaintiff-friendly places to file lawsuits. And the blank check of punitive damages sharpens the tip of the spear aimed at the heart of a company that finds itself in court. Avoidance of those kinds of risks is what hurts the economy. Innovative products may never come to market. Companies who pay to settle or litigate claims have less resources to invest. And the cost of the services they provide will be much higher. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.